Okay. As obvious, Russ is not here, so we won't be into James today. And I'm going to try to jump into a little bit of Proverbs. It's impossible to come in here for one class and talk about Proverbs or to really get in depth to it. If you get nothing out of this lesson today, I hope it will intrigue your interest enough that you'll want to look and see what's in Proverbs that we have not recognized or we have not taken seriously up to this point. Proverbs, is, as Peggy will tell you, is my favorite book. I honestly do not know how many times I've read it entirely. And I don't tell you that to brag. I tell you that the more I read it, the more I understand. And I can pick it up right now in the morning or in the evening and turn to it and read some verses. I know I've read it over and over again, and something new will come to me. And I hope by the end of the day that your interest will be intrigued enough that you'll want to give it some good thought of making it part of your daily reading. The thing about Proverbs and the promise that God has given us in Proverbs is that if we study Proverbs, He's going to give us wisdom. If you get wisdom, you're going to make good decisions. If you make good decisions, you're going to prosper in this life. I'm not talking about just financial prosperity. But you will prosper, Sonny. But you'll prosper in every avenue of your life. Because He's given us an instruction book and laid out the things that He wants us to do. It's a conditional promise from God. You say, well, God doesn't give conditional promises. In Proverbs, He does. He says, you've got to seek it earnestly. If you seek it earnestly, He's going to give you wisdom. That's a promise, and whenever God makes a promise, that should be in our memory bank here, that if God has got something for me, that He's promised me, and all I've got to do is find out what it is. He says, if you earnestly seek me as silver or gold, He says, I will give you wisdom. It's more than a book of just tips and tricks, and I think we too often we say it's a little short paragraphs. It's supposed to have tips in it or tricks in it, but it's more than that. It's a way of life. I promise you it will change your life, and I promise you if you seek it diligently that you will become more wise. And becoming more wise, then you're going to do as God asked you to do in all aspects of your life. It's an instruction book for all who desire to know His will. And it's God's detailed way of telling us how to succeed in this world. Three things are prevalent in Proverbs, and that's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Let's see if we can define what the difference between those three is. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? What is knowledge? Accumulation of facts. That's knowledge. You got accumulation of facts. If you have an accumulation of facts, does that mean you're going to be wise? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's also understanding is a part of this three-pronged process here. What does understanding to you mean? When God promises you understanding, how is that different from knowledge?
Understanding is being able to take the knowledge and use it. So
that's a good answer. To understand something, you discern it. You have a discernment about it. We understand that nuclear energy gives us energy. But just understanding that it does that, and understanding how it all works to do that, you know, is a different process. So we've got to have three phases here. First of all, we've got to get knowledge, which is the facts. We've got to get the facts that God wants us to have. And gain that in our memory bank. And then we want to understand how all these things go together. that fit in our world, and then we have the wisdom and that's the ability to take all this and utilize it the way God wants to utilize it. Can you have knowledge without wisdom? Sure you can. Can you have understanding without wisdom? Yeah, you can have understanding without wisdom. You can know all the facts in the world, but if you don't use it wisely, it doesn't do you any good. Can you have wisdom without knowledge? That's a good question. Can you have wisdom without knowledge? To a certain point you can. To a certain point. You don't have to have all knowledge, but that part of knowledge that you do have, that part, then you can use that with wisdom. But we'll never read this book over and over again and have all the knowledge that we need out of that. But you'll have enough of that knowledge that if you use it wisely, then God is going to bless you for that. Okay. It's a book that lets you slowly build your wisdom. If you go to Proverbs and go through it slowly and over again, you will start, it's like a building block process that you'll start understanding more and more. When you understand this part, then you say, hey, that makes this part work. And that part, well, then that makes this part work. It's like a building block. It's like opening a door. Every time you get wisdom in one area, then it's like opening a door to another area. It's like an open, and pretty soon you'll find out that God will reveal to you His will in your life. Not just in one area, but all areas He'll reveal to you. Where does wisdom start, by the way? Dear the Lord. You've got to remember that. Because you will not get wisdom unless you realize that He's all-encompassing, all-powerful. That does not mean a terrible fear of the Lord. It means an awesome respect of the Lord. I got four steps here. I'm going to hit your step, but I'm going to try to tell you why I think it comes in a little bit later. He starts off with saying, if you want wisdom, you got to fear the Lord. And he starts off with that in his book. That's the whole theme of it. And then he's telling you in the second part of that, he says, you've got to seek it. You just can't sit here in this class and hope that somebody's going to feed it to you. I hope that every now and then you're going to get a little glimpse of wisdom from somebody that's going to be part of your vocabulary. You've got to earnestly seek it, and seek it to the point that you think it's as valuable as silver or gold. And you've got to seek it. And you actually got to pray for it. It should be part of your prayers. God, please open my eyes. You know, show me what you want me to do. Open your will to me. And then in my step 3 it says, because of that seeking, God will give you the knowledge. He'll supply. He'll open that door to you to start obtaining knowledge. And then in step number four, when you get that knowledge, you will then understand the righteousness, the justice, the equity, and every good path of the Lord. Fear the Lord. Seek it. Seek what He's promised you in the way of wisdom, as if it were something super, super valuable, even to the point that you make it part of your prayer. And you, the God has a promise in here that you will find it. And then after you find it, then you will understand God's will for you. So it does come in there, Judy. And then you, if you, I don't know. From my perspective, you first got to have faith that this book is everything it's supposed to be, and it's infallible, and God is there. And once I have the faith that that's true, then I can go through these other steps. I can, from this book, I can develop an awesome fear for God. An awesome fear for God. And then I would go through the other steps. I'm going to read, and it's quite a few verses, but I'm going to read this, and I'm going to paraphrase some of the things in here in chapter 3 of Proverbs, because I think if you look at chapter 3 and go through this verse by verse, I think your eyes or your heart's going to be open to what He's trying to tell you and what He wants from you. First of all, in verse 1, He says, "My son, do not forget My law." Here's His law. Do not forget this law. He says, "Let your heart keep My commandments." Once you know this law, let your heart keep it. And because of that, I'm going to give you length of days. I'm going to give you long life. And who doesn't want to live, or most of us want to live, a good long life? Not only that, He says, "I'm going to give you peace." And He said, "I'm going to add that to your life." He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." That's part of God's promises and part of His law. Do not let them get away from you. Remember that He's given them to you. He says, "Bind them around your neck. Make them so part of your life that you don't forget that He has made you these promises." Put a rubber band around your finger, or put something around your wrist. Let them, bind them, if they're part of your everyday life. In doing so, you're going to find favor, and you're going to find high esteem in God. You do these things, and He's going to really, really be proud of who you are and where you're going. And you'll not only be proud, He'll not only be proud in His sight, but then your fellow man will have great respect for you if you do these things. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Again, that gets back into having that awesome respect for Him, that you believe everything He says, and He cannot lie, so He's not going to tell you a lie, and He's going to fulfill all of His promises. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Even when you're feeling low, even when we have bad days, and I have bad days, and I know you guys have bad days, but even when you're feeling down and out, trust that He's there and He knows what's going on in your life. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, not just the good times, but the bad times. And always acknowledge that God exists and He's there for you. And He shall direct your path if you do that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Never think that you've reached it. Never think that you've looked at this book enough that you can make decisions without His help. Never think that you have reached a level above your fellow man as far as God's will for you. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And in verse 8 it says it's going to be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You're going to be a healthier person for that. God has promised you. He's going to make you a healthier person if you'll do these things. Honor Him with all your possessions. That's all the goods that you have. Your home, your cars, your funds, your resources. That's how you honor God with your possessions. And then He's come back and said, and with the first fruits of all your increase. And that'd be the first fruits of our salaries or whatever we have. He says, and then he's going to fill your bonds. He's going to replace, he's going to replenish your bonds with plenty. He says, not only that, you're going to have an overflow. But you got to go back and trust God that he says what he promises here. Do not despise chastening from the Lord. Well, we get things go bad in our life and we don't understand, you know, why this is happening to us. Do not despise that. I know it's a terrible time to be in, and I know it's a terrible, it's always bad when we're feeling low and we feel like there's no end, no sight. Don't despise those chastening. God, and he's going to tell you why. God loves to correct us. He loves us. He corrects. Just as the Father delights in his Son, whom he corrects the Son whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. If you seek this wisdom that we're talking about here this morning, you're going to be a happy person for it. Your proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Your gain is more than fine gold, more precious than rubies. They're extraordinary things that God has promised you here. These are not piddling things, even in today's sight in our eyes. We value all these precious golds and silvers and rubies because we know the value of them. And all the things that you may desire cannot compare to her. The length of your days, here you're going back, you're going to have a good long life. Left hand, you have riches, you have honor. Her ways of pleasantness and all her paths of peace. You're going to have a peaceful life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. You're going to be a happier person, a happy family, a happy couple, a happier human being if you do these things. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. It goes back to even Jesus was there in the beginning. He helped God when he was doing all this. His knowledge of the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down their duty. This is my son, let them do not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be the life to your soul and the grace to your neck. You will walk safely in the way. Your foot will not stumble. And when you lie down, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to go to sleep at night. Somebody's getting here. I'm going to be getting some afraid that you're not going to be able to wake up in the morning. You'll have sleep. You'll be able to sleep. You'll be able to sleep good. And you'll be sweet. And you won't be afraid of sudden terror. Nor of the trouble the wicked come when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it when you have to give right now. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. When we say neighbor, we're not just talking about your next door neighbor. We're talking about friends and everybody. For he dwells by you for the safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without a cause. Don't pick fights with anybody just because you see one thing or two things about him you do not like. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Basically, if you will go through this chapter here and look at all that God's going to give you and the gain you will get by getting wisdom, it's crazy not to strive to get something that God wants you to get. I think Peggy will attest, the years that I've been in the Proverbs and reading it certainly has taught me many things. And some of those things that he's taught me, I've picked out, and we're going to go through them, and we'll discuss them by reading some of the Proverbs. In Proverbs 10:19, I could have written pages and pages of these, but I knew this class wouldn't be long enough to. But I think if we go through these, you'll get the point of what I'm trying to say to you. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You know what that's telling you? You can babble on. You can get involved and just... You heard people just love to hear themselves talk. If you have a multitude of words like that, he's telling you, somewhere in there you're going to lie. You're going to exaggerate. You're going to get yourself in trouble. So watch that mic. He's slow to listen. He says, he who restrains his lips is wise. Ponder over what people have to say. Listen to what they have to say. Then after you've done that, then listen to them again. Ponder over that. In Proverbs 10:26, he says, as vinegar is to the teeth. You can imagine what effect vinegar has on the enamel of your teeth. And smoke to your eyes. We don't have that as much as we used to have with smoky room, would burn your eyes. So is a lazy man to those who send him. If you're going to be working with somebody, be careful how you choose that person to go represent you or go on your word. I recommend this guy to come and do this work for you. In 11:13, he says, a talebearer. What's a talebearer? Huh? Gossip. Gossip line, right. A talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You got a choice on all, and we all do. We're surrounded by people who got these little morsels of stuff. They tell us, and then we got a choice. We can pass it on. We can become a part of that, or we can come up with something nice, something pleasant, something that would build that person up. And how many times, you know, dying. I guess many others have just passed on stuff that did no good but harm somebody. He tells you that. A talebearer, a gossiper, reveals something, but he who is faithful of spirit conceals the matter. You need to pray about this particular problem that we all have. You need to learn from it, you need to practice it, and you must learn to keep gossip to yourself. People tell you gossip because they it makes them feel good, and they expect you to pass it on. You have not become a part of that problem. In 11:22, he says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout. You got to imagine that now. You got a pig out there wallowing in the mud. You got a ring of gold in his mouth. So is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Got a foul mouth. Got a haughty attitude, got a flirting attitude, or who puts herself in a position that embarrasses her husband or herself. They just don't go together. They're just doing together. You can't, there's an old saying, you can't make silk out of you can't make silk purse out of a pig's ear. They just don't go together. In 11:25, he says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That's, again, he's promising you, if you give, if you help others, he's going to give it back to you. There are times when we ourselves need to be watered. And if we are of that nature where we will see who needs to be watered and waters, then there'll be a time when they'll come back and they'll water us. When God knows that we need it, that person will be there to help us. In 12:1, he says, whoever loves instructions, whoever loves correction, whoever loves admonishing, loves knowledge. So don't hate being corrected when you're wrong. We have a nature about us, pride jumps up in there when someone tells us, hey, you did this or you did that, and you know you did it, but you want to defend it. You just automatically don't want to look bad in other people's eyes. He says, do not. He says, if you love instructions, if you love those corrections, if you love those admonitions, if you love those reproofs, then you love knowledge. But the last part of that verse says, he who hates correction is stupid. He comes right out there and tells you that. If you hate correction, then you're defeating. What correction is all about? Correction is to make you better. You know, if you hate anybody making you better, then you're in bad shape. 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." We have a tendency as human beings to figure it out ourselves and think, you know, I'm right. I was right to do this. I'm right to take this position. I'm right to, and he's wrong or they're wrong. And we always want to justify ourselves. It says, but he who heeds counsel, that means to take advice from other people. And that means not just advice from one person. The more advice you can get, the better off you're going to be. He who heeds counsel is wise. That's an important part of being wise, by the way, and getting wisdom, is to heed the counsel of other people. Wisdom comes from people who had experience and are willing to share that experience on to you instead of you having to go through the same blunders that generations and generations and generations of people have gone through. In 12:22, it says, lying lips, again, getting back to that tongue, are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight. Be careful of our little white lies that we say. We justify them well. Compared to this, they're not bad. I just did it because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Just don't say anything if you don't want to hurt his feelings. Don't tell him a lie. Just don't say anything if you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. God loves truthfulness in all of our answers, not just the important answers in our life, but every answer we give, he loves the truth. In 13:7 it says, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, but has great riches. These things you need to think about. You can go out there and gain every little thing there is to gain out there, or every little trinket, or every little stuff that's out there. You think you made yourself rich, but the one who makes himself poor, humble to the Lord, and he has great riches awaiting him. He has goodness in God's eyes. 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Always choose your friends carefully, particularly people who you want to heed their advice. If you walk with wise men, their wisdom will come on, they'll impart their wisdom to you. If you become a companion to a fool, then you're going to become as he does, and you're going to be destroyed. Long to be with your friends who has wisdom, by the way. Long to be with them so that you can learn from them. 13:24 says, he who spares his rod, listen to this, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly. Well, if you were to say that in today's world, with the courts and all, people would be down on you and want to take your away from you and everything else. But God is telling you, if you really love your son, don't spare that rod when he needs the rod. He doesn't tell you to beat him. It's because you want to beat him. But when he deserves it, then don't spare that rod. But not only don't spare the rod, but don't spare chastening, talking to him, admonishing him, correcting him, and giving him reasons for that. But the rod was part of God's plan. When I said rod, I'm talking about a steel rod. I think he's talking about switches. Or the back of your hand on his drunk when he needs it. 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Again, without wisdom and counsel from your fellow persons that you know that are wise, we tend to think we know it all. We tend to think we can make all our decisions from what we have up here without God's help. God encourages us to seek counsel. Oh, yeah. Yeah, not necessarily a rod. You're right. It's not necessarily a rod, but it can be in all aspects of how you want to control him, which could include pain. It's a particular place where it touches the bone. Yeah. Good point. 14:29 says, "He is slow to wrath, has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." Control that temper of ours. Some people you can set off just like that. Some key things that they've got back in their memory bank that they don't like, and you can set them off. What did they used to say? Red-headed people have quick tempers, hot tempers, or something like that at one time. But there are people out there. He's encouraging, be slow to wrath. And if you do that, you have great understanding. But if you're impulsive, you're going to exalt folly. You're going to exalt your foolishness. Controlling your temper is like controlling your tongue. It's hard to do. But it can be done with godly help. It can be done with godly help. 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. How many times if we want to retaliate when someone has really cut us down, how many times we want to retaliate and throw something right back out instead of giving them a soft answer? I'm sorry about that. We'll talk about that later. We have a tendency, it's like stoking a fire when we do something like that. You got a little ember in there burning, and you're gonna fan it when you want to give back sharp answers to it. And then it keeps escalating from that point on. In 15:22, God is again telling us, without counsel, without considering others, without talking to others, without talking to wise people, plans will go awry. But in the multitude of counsels, in other words, the more you can get that you can depend on, the wise people, then your plans are established. They're good. Best you can do. You got everybody's viewpoint considered in that. Wisdom requires seeking advice. The more advice you seek, the right solution will come to you, and it will become clear to you that the right solution is. In 16:28, it says, a perverse man will sow strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Again, going back to that gossip and that tongue. If you're of that nature, that you are going to cause trouble, then you're going to separate your friends and other people's friends that they have because of the damage that you do with your tongue. 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Again, when someone tells you something, instead of saying, passing on as a negative thought or gossip, try to cover that up and say something good about that person. I guarantee you, you'll shut up that person who told you if you say something good about that other person. He'll immediately acknowledge or see that you don't want to carry on his conversation, and you'll make him feel bad. 17:28, even a fool is counted wise. This is one of my favorites, by the way. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Nobody will know how stupid we are if we don't open our mouth. You just sit there with an intent look. You're a smart person. But once you open that mouth in haste, without considering the whole conversation and everything involved, you're gonna show the fool that we are. I show the fool that I am. So, that's one of my particular likes. First, 18:17, the first one to plead his, this is another good one, by the way. But we all have people come to us and say they've been wrong. They want to tell you the story of how they're wrong. This person did this to me. They did this to me. The first one to plead his cause seemed right. That first one to come to you and you listen to him say, you shouldn't have done that to you. That was bad. It says, until his neighbor has time to examine him, until you hear the other side. I've been guilty of that. I've had people come to me and tell me the story. I can't believe they did that to you. What a bad person they are. And then that person comes and tells me the story. And the answer is somewhere in between the two. It's not on one, it's not on the other. Somewhere in between the two. I've been guilty of that. 1821. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Remember that. If you love to use your tongue, if you love to spread gossip, if you love to tell lies, if you love to put people down, death and life are in that power there. And if you do it long enough, you can eat its fruit. You'll be destroyed by it. On the life part of it, right? Yeah, you can build somebody up. You get, of course, you know, the power of the tongue is that powerful that you can save people from their sin. You can lead them to God with your tongue. But by the same token, you can cut them down and take them away from God. 19:8. I don't think I'm going to have time to read all these, but I'm going to do a couple more. 19:8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. If you think a lot of yourself, if you want to value your soul, then you got to love wisdom. If you love wisdom, gets wisdom, you'll love your own soul. And he who keeps understanding will find good. If you strive for that understanding, you're going to find good, great blessings in God's wisdom. 19:17. Who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Whenever you help a poor person, it's like lending to the Lord. And then he says at the end of that verse, he's going to pay you back. He says he's going to pay you back. What you've given that person, he'll get it back. 21:13 says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself. One day, you'll cry yourself and you're not going to be heard. You shut your ears away and ignore the poor people, or the people that you can help. One day, you're going to cry and you won't be heard. 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. God has a way in these proverbs, by the way, to repeat them over and over. And his reasoning, I believe he put them in, is to pound them to the point that they become part of your life. They're like those things around your neck that you'll always be reminded of. That's why, because as you know, as we're going through these, we repeated that over and over. Be slow. Just open that mouth up. You'll be seen wise. People think you're very wise if you just sit there and listen. They'll think you're wise. Once you open that mouth, you'll either have wisdom coming out of it, or they'll see just how stupid and ignorant we are. We need to be careful about that. There's another one. Foolishness bound up in the heart of a child, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You love your children, and if you really love your children, then you're going to make sure they follow the path of God, and that's to, in fact, tell them they can't or should not go down this path. They need to go down this path, and sometimes it takes correction. 22:24, important one. Make no friendship with an angry man. And a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul. If you know these people that have that kind of personality, they just got anger in them, and they're just furious, stay away from those people. Don't become a companion to them. It doesn't mean you can't admonish them or tell them, But don't let them become a friend of yours, because you'll get what they got. It's another important. Remember this: do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him that you're doing this, and he turns his wrath away from that person. He's sinned against you. Never thought about that. I'm happy when I see justice. Well, I think it's justice being done because of somebody, you know, wronged me. Lord doesn't want me to be happy about that. And he might turn his wrath away from him and correct him if he sees that. The rod and rebuke given in wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child is in no way mature enough to correct himself or even know what is right all the time, what is wrong all the time. He needs you involved in his life. We've run out of time. I'm sorry we're running out of overtime. But if you get nothing else out of this class, I encourage you to get into Proverbs. Read it every day. You don't have to read the whole chapter. Just read verses of it and go back to it and go back to it. And I promise you, you'll see wisdom come in your life. We'll all be smart people. Smart people. Thank you, guys.